didn't, but I was instructed by my boss to do something different tonight. So you don't get bored with the mindy stuff. So what are we talking about tonight, preacher? Let me get the English version of it. I have the Dutch version. You know how nice it would be if I would have come tonight and, well, brothers and sisters, het teken van vandaag is moeilijkheid met bevrijding. I have learned throughout the years, and it has been more emphasized by the Spirit lately, that condemnation is the fast way to defeat. It's the fastest way to defeat. When there is a spirit of condemnation, you lose focus on what you're called to be and what you're called to do. And because that sense of defeat is always there, you can't function properly and you cannot live up to be what God wants you and creates you to be. In ministry, doesn't even have to be ministry. In our Christian daily walk, especially doing the kind of work that all of us do in here, which is deliverance, sometimes it can get very frustrating, especially when you pray for someone and you pray and you pray and you pray, and it seems like the more you pray, the worse it gets. And it's not difficult for one to feel that sense of defeat. And while I am going over these things with my Lord for a few weeks, it was brought to my attention something to share with you tonight. Difficulties in handling deliverance is the title of our meditation. Doing this kind of work that we do, many times people will walk through this door expecting you to be a magician. Maybe you know friends, you know people that know that you're a Bible-believing person and that God does miracle in your church, and they will bring a big pineapple for you to peel. And when they don't have the results that they think they should have, they will immediately ask, well, what happened? Where is your God? I mean, what about all that healing stuff that you have in your church? How come I didn't get healed? Are you with me so far?
Yes.
And many times we may sense that defeating thing in us because we have not been well instructed. And tonight I want to go over with you why sometimes people don't get delivered, or why deliverance sometimes fails. In answering this question, we should take into consideration several things. This question is not asked for the first time. The disciples of Jesus asked the same exact question. There was a time when somebody brought in a boy with epilepsy. Some translation called lunatic. And the disciples were not able to cast out that demon. They were puzzled, and then they asked Jesus in private what was the reason for their failure. Why couldn't we do this? Jesus gave them a multi-part answer. And In order for us to understand that when somebody is not delivered when we pray, we need to take into consideration five things that is very little spoken of. Number one, in order for deliverance to be successful, we have to take into consideration the petitioner's faith. What? Yeah. Somebody brings someone here, demon-possessed, and want me to pray for, and get that person delivered. I got good news for you. You better get your faith in gear. Number two, we should take into consideration the person ministering's ability to do the job. There are also, number three, some spiritual qualification that must be met. What are you doing, healing, or are you doing demon possession deliverance? Then we have to take into consideration the strength of the demon that we are confronting. And finally, what kind of strategy of warfare are we using? We're together so far, right? So to start, let's start by reading the relate. Brother Harry, can you put up there Matthew 17, starting on verse 14? And I would ask you to read it with me. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and oft into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't cure him. Isn't that something? We're talking about healing over here. It doesn't stop there. Verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. One more verse. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? Verse 20. So Jesus said to them, because your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. So, let's take into consideration the first thing that can cause a deliverance. Doesn't have to be deliverance from demon possession. It could be healing. You've been called on to pray for a sick person, and you go and nothing happened. And it happened the first, the second, the third time, nothing happened. So what could have caused that? Number one, lack of faith. The father of this epileptic boy complained to Jesus in verse 16, I brought him here to your disciples, and they could not cure him. It's a lot of presumptuousness on this man's part to come and accuse the disciples of Jesus. He had a point. But you have the guts to come with a demon-possessed child and look at the master. Look, these guys you call your disciple. I brought them here. I brought the boy here, and they could not cure him. Jesus replied on verse 17, and this is where I want to start. May I have verse 17 here, brothers? 17:17. Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? One of the great hindrances on deliverance, or even when you're praying for the sick, is the lack of faith. Are you with me? So what do you mean lack of faith? Like lack of faith? When you study this word, the sentence lack of faith, in the original language, it does not mean the absence of faith. Are you with me here? It does not mean absence of faith. It just means a messed up faith. Wow, now you get it a little messed up faith. How could somebody have a messed up faith? I'll tell you right now in a moment. The word generation here is the word genia, which means race, and in this case, referred to the Jewish people, who, for the most part, refused to believe that Jesus was the Savior. Are you with me so far? They believed that Jesus could do miracles. They believed that Jesus was a big prophet. But they did not believe that Jesus was God Himself. Are you with me here?
Yes.
There's a lot of people out there today that believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Maybe God. They believe that Jesus saved. But I don't know about this healing stuff. If Jesus can heal, why so many people are sick? If somebody approaches the church here, comes here and asks me to pray for a sick person, if their faith is not up to the speed, not much will be accomplished. Especially when we have a demonic involvement on it. Jesus goes on, or faithless and perverse generation. I went to the Greek again to look the word perverse. And the word perverse in the Greek is the word diastropho. Or diastropho. And it means to distort. You believe in something in a distorted way. To misinterpret or to be morally corrupt. Perverse. One who turns away from the way. There are millions and millions of people out there that they will be minded their own life, their own business, and God is on the back burner. And then whenever their house starts crumbling down, they run to the church and they expect that the preacher and the church members will be up to their speed to get them up and running again so they can go back to their same miserable life. This is perversity. It's a perverse generation. He says, or faithless and perverse generation. Main ingredient for one not to get their healing. Yeah. Not only the lack of substantial faith, but the inability to believe. The ability to corrupt the believing system, or to believe in a distorted way, if you wish. So what you're saying? What I'm saying here tonight is that one of the main things that is important for anybody to get healed is the lack of faith. Jesus was identifying the father of the epileptic boy as part of this faithless and perverse generation. Now, it gets worse. When you go to the book of Mark, chapter 9, starting on verse 14. Jesus reveals us on that context that the spiritual leaders of the day were as bad in believing as the father of the boy. Watch this. Mark 9, starting on verse 14. Let's read it. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and this is the people that Jesus called faithless and perverse generation. The scribes, the people who copied the Bible, the people who read the Bible, the people that walk with the Bible on their shoulder all the time. And as I'm reading this, I'm thinking the same thing today. How many preachers are there today? You know what? They have the Bible on their cars. But when push comes to shove, well, show me what you got. You know what I mean? Great obstacle to healing and deliverance, lack of faith. So if you ever prayed for someone and the person didn't get healed, do not condemn yourself. You do need to have some faith, absolutely. But whoever comes to you to pray needs to believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior and He has the power to do that. One may say, well, if that's the case, why do I need to come here? Because sometimes your faith may not be up to the speed, but when you join hands, join forces with someone else, it happens. Monday, Marcia asked me, what do you want for your birthday? I said, nothing. I don't want anything. What do you want to eat? Nothing. Leave me alone, I want to be in bed. So I stay in bed until 9:30. Thank God. She got up and she's working in the kitchen. She comes up, so what you going to have for breakfast? So let's go hunting. So what? Let's go hunt. Is there any international house around here? Yes. Well, let's go hunting over that side. Once we finish, we did a few more errands, and we went to BJ's. And somehow we spoke about, what about if God would have saved somebody tonight, huh? Today, yeah? That would be awesome. Then I'm thinking, what about if God would have saved a Jewish person today? One of my fellow men. So when do we get to BJ? My beloved wife, she is very picky where she sits and whatnot. So we got something, she got something to snack. And then she said, sit over there. Don't sit over there because there's a piece of paper. Sit over here. I said, yes, ma'am. So we sat at the end, but we left one seat available. She sit on that side, I sit on this side, and within minutes come this 900 years old woman. And she looked, and then Marcia said, yeah, you can sit if you want. She sat down. And then I look at her, but not today, I don't want to talk to nobody today. So she turned around, she said, I am a Holocaust survivor. Is that right? And then she started talking and talking and talking. So I jump in.
First she said she was feeling pain, then you
prayed for her. Oh yeah, that's right. She said that she was having pain, strong pain in her legs. So I thought, you know, I can't escape this. She said, can I pray for you? Sure. So right away, right there, right at the BJ's, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I bind the pain on the leg. And then I saw, boom, 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 boom. And I prayed for that sick woman. When I finished, she looked at me, she smiled. I am a Holocaust survivor. Is that right? And then she started telling her story. You wouldn't understand. Yes, I do. You do? Yes, I do. And then I told her, Ani moche ivrit. Oh my. I know it's Hebrew, but I don't know what you say. So I translated to her. So we had a conversation for 20 minutes. I had to go out to fix the membership. On the way back, Marcia asked her, "Would you like to receive Jesus as your personal Savior?" The woman said, "Yes." Then Marcia said, "Pray with me." And she prayed the sinner's prayer after my wife. And I'm thinking, thank you. Thank you. One more into the kingdom. Amen. So what are you saying? Faith got to be in them and in you. If you prayed for someone and the deliverance or the miracle didn't happen, do not condemn yourself. Amen. A lot of people say, "Well, Pastor, I need a special prayer because my faith level is low. I just prayed for someone and the person didn't get healed." And who told you that you need a special prayer? By the way, you Americans have this nonsense of special prayer. I have never found that in the Bible, but often people come, "I need a special prayer." What is it on the Bible? I want to learn how to do a special prayer. I mean, prayers are prayers. But if you prayed for somebody and the person didn't get healed, there is necessity of faith to be in your part, on their part too. In this case here, the spiritual leaders were disputing with the disciples. You may say, "Well, but doesn't say that Jesus called them faithless, does it?" Verse 15. "Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him." 16. "And he asked the scribes, 'What are you discussing with them?' Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit.'" And they will go through and they relate to Jesus will call them faithless and perverse generation again. So what you're saying, preacher? The leaders were disputing. The disciples were surrounded by an unbelieving multitude. The unbelieving father, once confronted by the Lord, he besought Jesus. Verse 22, Mark 9, 22. "And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." You see what I'm talking about? That kind of presumptuousness that's still present today. "Well, if you don't think that Jesus can do something for your son, why did you bring him to him?" Are we together here? It's just like somebody recently, 2 weeks ago, came in and said that the person was upset with me because one time I mentioned the gay people as "it." And the person got offended. And then I said, "Listen, if you are expecting me to go tap in and back up gay people, it's time for us to part ways. This is not the church for you to be. You may as well leave." Sometimes people will come to you and I with some ridiculous requests. They bring somebody that's full of demons, expecting that you're going to do a miracle, and when the person doesn't get what they thought that you should do, they get upset at you. Now, sometimes we fall into the trap and we let the spirit of guilt take upon us. I love the answer that Jesus gave to this guy in verse 23. Watch this. "What do you mean, if you can't?" Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Again, we are talking about of faith. Are you with me so far? Jesus was showing that the disciples' failure was due to the unbelief of the one seeking deliverance. Are you following me so far? Don't kill yourself. If you prayed for somebody, somebody didn't get healed. Their faith has to kick in. And this is not the first time that Jesus encountered this type of people. Listen to Matthew 13, verse 58. Now, he did not do many might work there because did you see the correlation here? Might works couldn't be performed because the people didn't believe. Therefore, what I'm trying to say tonight to you is this. Successful prayer for healing, successful prayer for deliverance takes faith. The lack of faith could constitute a problem and a hindrance. And it takes faith both on the one who came for the prayer and on the one that is praying for the sick. This guy, the father of this boy, when he was confronted over his unbelief, listen to what he said, Mark 9:24. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears. What did he say? Does it make sense? Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. What a nonsense is this? How can you believe and ask help with your unbelief? It seems like a paradox, right? This is part of the faithless, corrupt generation. They do believe, all right, but their belief is distorted. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
They believe, all right, but their belief is distorted. Their belief is misinterpreted. It's morally corrupt. Their belief is a perverse belief. In other words, yeah, we believe there is a God. Could you heal him? If you can, please help us. What do you mean if you can? If you can believe, all things are possible to those who believe. Yes, Lord, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. You will understand, you will notice that 90% of the people who walk through these doors has 10% of faith. They do believe there is a God, but that's it. They are not 100% believing that Jesus can heal the sick. You may ask, so how do we go about it? What do we do? Well, if you remember, you have heard me say several times, you're going to be healed for 24 hours. You remember that? You may have wondered, why did he say that? They are riding on my faith alone. And my faith will get you healed for 24 hours. But within 24 hours, your faith has to kick in. This man had no faith when he admitted that the faith that he had was substantially twisted with tears. The Bible says that Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and it came out of that man. Are you following what I'm trying to say today? One of the main ingredients for deliverance, for healing. There's got to be faith. Well, the person that I have to pray for has no faith because the person is demon-possessed. Well, they didn't come here by themselves. Somebody brought them here. And whoever brought them here better have some faith to kick in along with you. I'll give you another example. There was another parent that came to Jesus for a child deliverance. It was a Syrophoenician mother. Jesus refused her request for the deliverance of her child until she expressed faith. Matthew 15:28. When this woman expressed faith, based on her faith, Jesus said the following. Let's read it. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Get this. Let it be
to you as you desire.
Are you getting to the point? Are you getting the point I'm trying to make tonight? Don't let the devil use the weapon of condemnation. Because when you allow yourself to be condemned, it's the fast track to defeat. And you will never be able to fully experience what God has for you. You pray for somebody, somebody didn't get healed, your faith may have been weak. But you know what? Whoever brought the sick person for you to pray for is supposed to have some faith too. This woman traveled 5 days worth of walk all the way from Lebanon into Israel. She heard Jesus was in the northern part of Israel. She goes and says, Lord, my daughter is sick. Please heal her. Jesus is ignoring her. She's bothering him. He says, it's not licit to give the children's bread to the dog. Boy, that's a rough one. You come looking for healing for your daughter and Jesus call you a dog? He didn't call you her dog, but he's just trying to get the best out of this woman. She humbly said, yes, my Lord, you're right. But you know what, Lord? The dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the table of the children. Jesus said, wow. Oh, woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. The faith of that woman was what granted the desire of her heart, the healing of her child. Conclusion. Faith is a key ingredient to getting people healed. Faith is a key ingredient to get people delivered. Are you with me still? Jesus had given his disciples absolute authority to cast out demons. Listen to Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Read it with me. Then he called his 12 disciples together and well, when you read something like this, how could they fail? And I ask you now, how could have they failed? I'm coming to a conclusion very soon. We see here, he called the 12 disciples and gave them power and authority over few demons. All demons, and gave them power to cure diseases. Is that right?
Yes.
So how in the world could have them failed? Anyone want to take a shot? Huh?
Lack of faith.
I believe that the 12 disciples failed because they had been influenced by the unbelieving and perverse generation. And therefore, they had lost their own faith to cast out demons. Don't you know somebody that goes to Pentecostal church like ours? They believe that Jesus healed. And then one day they got sick and they are commenting about their sickness with you. And then you talk about Jesus' power to heal. And have you ever heard somebody say, yeah, I know. But have you met somebody like that? Why would somebody do this? Because their faith has been influenced Their beliefs has been influenced by the unbelieving and perverse generation, which will cause them to lose their own faith to cast out demons. And Jesus addresses disciples directly on the importance of faith, explaining their inability to cast out that demon. Listen to Matthew 17:20. Read it with me. So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, it is important that both petitioner and the minister have faith that when the spirit is commanded to go in the name of Jesus, it must go. Are you with me? So if you are ever confronted with that situation, whether it's a spirit of infirmity or a demon possessed person, it's very, 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 very important that you believe that you have the faith that when a spirit is commanded to go in the name of Jesus, it must go. It's almost like he's saying over here that authority to cast out demons is contingent upon faith, doesn't it? Is almost like that. And I believe, folks, that both God and demons knows, the demons will have a hint whether active faith is present or not. They may not know, but they will have a hint. So, if you find yourself in that situation, perhaps a teaching or a little instruction time should precede the deliverance to provide an opportunity to build up faith. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Jesus did not tell his disciple that their faith must be gigantic. Did you hear what I said? Jesus didn't say, he didn't tell to his disciple that their faith must be gigantic. No. A mustard seed sized of faith is all that you need, so long it is a genuine faith. Is that correct? So there is no need for you and I to be worried, concerned about the size of our faith. The Bible says that God has assigned to each one of us a measure of faith. Is that correct? So, if God has assigned to us a measure of faith, we all have faith. What may hinder our ministry may be the fact that our faith has been contaminated or influenced by the faithless and perverse generation, which will cause us to doubt Jesus' ability, the name of Jesus' ability to cast out demons. One time we were in Suriname, and we tried to witness to this family, but they would not listen. They would not listen for the life of us. So, we tried several times, they ran me out of their homes. Their home. Okay. One day, the legion that was oppressing the family jumped into the woman in the house. And this woman broke the whole house down. They call the pandit, I call them bandit, is the Hindu priest. He said, that's too heavy for me. I can't handle that. So they called the Muslim guy. He said, oh, no. That's beyond my pay grade. So they called the Bunaman. Bunaman is a witch doctor. He said, that look ugly. I don't want to mess with that. So they called the Catholic guy. He said, oh, no, we don't do that kind of stuff. So they said, go get the Brazilian guy. So it's the end of our service on a Wednesday night like this. And all of a sudden, the car pull in. Who is the head here? I said, Jesus. Who are you? I said, who's asking? Are you the head? I said, no, Jesus is the head. Are you the leader? Yeah. Come with me. Who are you? Why should I go with you? I said, well, you know, the house over there, the woman has something on her, and they said for you to come. So I'm not going to go anywhere. Bring the person here. Oh, we can't. I'm not going to go anywhere. So he kept begging. And then one of the elders, Brother Murray, asked, what is the problem? I said, well, something got into the woman. She broke the whole house. There's 5 big men holding her down now, and they're having a hard time to hold her. Brother Murray said, go, Pastor. I'll be right there. I got into the car and said, you're a bunch of disgusting. Go call the Hindu preacher. We already did. Well, let him handle it. He said, he can't handle that. So we got into the house. And they are screaming, doing all the nonsense that they do. When they walk into the room, the demon spoke. I told them, shut up in the name of Jesus. Shut up. In Jesus' name. Be quiet. I look at them, you're a bunch of disgusting people. I come here so every week almost, and you run me away from the house, huh? Now go get the pandit. I'm sorry. He cannot help. Can you help? So I came to the woman. I said, in the name of Jesus, I bind you right now. I bind you in the name of Jesus, and you're going to only answer the questions I ask you. I don't want to hear you. In Jesus' name. What's your name? I want to know your name. And guess what? The name of the most revered Hindu god. Yes. That you all may know that what you call God is a demon, and that my Jesus has power over it. In the name of Jesus, get out! The demon spoke, I'm leaving, but there's more inside. He got out, threw her on the floor. And they're going to jump, no, leave her alone. So just one prayer, in the name of Jesus, all you power of darkness, all you Hindu demons, all of you in Jesus' name, right now, I bind you in Jesus' name. I bind a strong man right now. And I'm spoiling his house. So I'm sending all of you back to the pits of hell now. This woman screamed so loud that it could be heard in the Netherlands. And then she goes, what happened? What am I? I pick her up by the hand. You're free now. The demons have left. It's time for you to give your heart to Jesus. She looked to everybody else and everybody go like this. I said, whenever it comes back, it's going to be twice worse than this. So you better give your life to Jesus. They move out of the neighborhood right away the next 2 or 3 days. And I heard that downtown, where they were attending a church now. Few days later, I went to pay my rent. And my landlord lived on the other side of the heavens. And I am tired. I just finished my office, got to go pay rent, and I want to go home and throw myself on the sofa. legs up and then relax. On my way back, there's a pickup truck in a ditch. It fell on a ditch. In Suriname, they have canals along the road where the water goes. That particular canal was dry because they closed the water because they were irrigating other places. So he was demon-possessed and drunk. He fell into the ditch. So I see that pickup truck, the back all the way up there, and the thing is on the ditch, and two boys sitting down watching. I passed, I looked, and I went. I didn't make from here to the exit. The Lord said, go back. Can somebody else go? I'm tired. And I continued, go back. I turned a little motorcycle, they call Bromfiets. It's a 50cc moped with four gears. Came, pull aside, turn it off. Ask the boys, you have family from this man? Yes, leave him alone. If you're gonna touch him right now, he's gonna beat you up. Don't shut up. Go get his wife. Leave him, go get his wife, boy! So they went and get the wife. She comes. Sir, leave him alone. Leave him alone. He will come back to himself. I said, ma'am, I am a man of God. Oh, we spoke to Jehovah's Witness. They couldn't help him. We spoke to the Catholic. They couldn't help him. We spoke with the Hindus and the Muslims. They couldn't help him. Blah, 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 blah. So I guess I have to tell you to shut up too. So at this time, there's a crowd. I said, come on, everybody, let's pull this truck out of the ditch. What? Come on! I jump on the back of the truck, on the bed. He was on the bed. And we got the truck out of the ditch. So I told the wife, you drive the truck home. And they lived like when you go to Liberty Road, you make a left on the other side. So the crowd now is coming. The whole crowd is coming. When they get in, she parked the truck, or whoever parked the truck, the demon manifests itself. Who are you? In the name of Jesus, I bind you right now. Then the other demon jumped and he changed voice. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I bind all of you right now in Jesus' name. And everybody's watching. What is your name? The name of the most revered Hindu god. When the demon spoke, everybody, oh! Turn around, that y'all may know that my Jesus is the boss of this Hindu demon here. In the name of Jesus, I bind you now and I kick you back to the pits of hell and I forbid you from coming back to this body ever again. Get out! The man had a convulsion. In the name of Jesus! And the demon just shook him violently. And then, I'm right there. Then he opened. Who are you? I said, I'm the man of God in town. And then he's looking, everybody's watching at him, everybody's. He asked, what happened? The wife came and said, he called on the name of Jesus. And Hanuman got out of you. Who? The Hindu demon. I told him, now it's time for you to give your life to Jesus. Huh. Can we talk about that tomorrow? I said, you have to come to Patfawanik, where I am. But I'll tell you this. If this demon come back, this one will not come back, but he might send somebody else. And if he comes back, whoever comes back, it's going to be twice worse. No, we're going to take care of it. And I left. There was never a doubt in my heart that they have to bow to the name of Jesus. Amen. Then you're going to say, that's contrary to what you're teaching tonight. No, it's not. Because in this case, I'm dealing with unbelievers. I'm dealing with pagan people. And it's so fun to see Satan lose. So fun to see Satan lose. It's so good to see Jesus triumphing over them. In this case, in our country, everybody here called themselves Christians. You see what I mean? So they have a faith of faithless and perverse generation. Therefore, when they come to you and I for prayer, we're going to pray for everybody that comes. But their faith better kick in if they want 100% results. So if you ever pray for somebody and the result don't come right away, don't kill yourself. Don't condemn yourself. This is why I say maybe we'll be smart to quote some scriptures to build up faith. May your faith continue to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.